This is a conversation with Rajeev Bhutani, Chairman and CEO of Media Mint. With over 26 years of experience bridging consulting, technology, and leadership, a leader who sees AI as an amplifier of human capability, Rajeev champions a future where work as a service integrates AI in a deeply human-centered way. I loved how he frames the balance between AI autonomy and human oversight as essential to building modern, adaptive organizations. Very nice to meet you, Rajeev. Thank you very much for joining the Humans on AI podcast. Rajeev, I've checked your journey. I found it very interesting. You're the chairman and CEO of Media Mint. However, I've learned that you've been over 26 years working as a consultant before being a part of doing other companies. But I wanted to understand a little bit what was the journey from being a consultant to become the chairman and CEO of Media Mint?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So in terms of, so firstly, thank you so much for having me here. It's a pleasure to meet you and be part of the show. In terms of my background, so I have spent my entire career at the intersection of technology and business and how business is translated into operations. So you mentioned about my consulting career. I started in Accenture and I grew in Accenture from a school bus as an analyst to being the group technology officer at Accenture. And through that process, I worked with a number of companies where we were looking at how they can use technology for digital transformation, for cloud transformation, and also from an AI perspective. So I think that's one part. But what I realized as a part of the process was that it's one thing to bring technology for innovation. It's another thing to manage change and operationalize it to achieve the outcome. Because when someone brings in technology, oftentimes people may think that technology is at the last mile. It's actually not at the last mile. It's far away. And it's about how the companies adopt it and how they change it. So I think my move from being a consultant to a business leader was to actually move and say, how can we look at the business problem in a completely holistic manner and achieve outcomes versus looking at the piece parts? So I mean, that's what I was looking at.
Okay, interesting. I mean, I've checked what you guys are doing, Media Mint, but I would like to share what do you guys do and what is the main role and as you as a leader that you handle.
Yeah. So I'll share a bit about Media Mint, right? So Media Mint was founded in 2010. And over the last decade and more, we've been working with over 150 companies in the media, entertainment, and technology space to run their front office operations on a day-to-day basis. We are an AI-powered growth operations company, but what we do for each of these is to run their media operations, their ad operations, their sales and marketing. And when you're running operations for companies, you get a deep understanding of the domain, you get a deep understanding of the complexity of how things are run, and you also build a lot of trust because unlike an advisory firm or a technology firm where you come in and give technology and you walk away, we are in the trenches with each of our customers running their growth functions and making sure that we can help them with revenue and we can help them with optimizing their operations. So that's what we do. Over the last couple of years, we have brought together our domain knowledge along with AI to evolve and become an agentic services company. And what that means for us is we productized our services using AI. That's what it means, where we are bringing together, we're bringing an AI platform, an AI-assisted platform to run operations and drive significant amount of efficiency for our customers.
Okay, interesting. I see also that you guys are using or applying AI agents in Media Mint. But there's a lot of hype around agentic AI. Every company is right now booming. I'm just using in own agentic AI in their softwares. So how does it look like for Media Mint? How do you guys balance or apply AI agents work alongside with humans?
Yeah. So let me give you a view of what I see, how we are applying, what is our belief and the approach we are taking and how we are applying it. To your point around hype, there is significant amount of hype that's there around AI, for sure. But when you look at the belief across organizations on AI's ability to go and drive meaningful outcomes, that belief has been established. Right. There's no one in any organization that will come in and say, I don't think AI can help me go and improve my business or my productivity in a significant manner. So that has been established. what I'm also seeing is the way AI is being applied today. A large part of that application is being used for point things, like you think of just using your ChatGPT and using it for your emails and so on. But using it for strategically incorporating AI into your workflows and into your products, that's taking a bit longer. So that's one part. The second thing that I'm seeing also is every company has got a lot of backend systems, right? So they've got a lot of technology, they've got a lot of process. Those processes have been around for a very long time. So using AI to go and disrupt that becomes a longer process. And that's where we are taking a very different approach. The approach that we are taking is persona-based. So the way we are looking at it is, if for every worker in a company, so I could be someone who's a sales operations person, I could be a marketing person. What we've done is to look at, we built an augmented assistant that uses AI and sits side by side with that particular worker to go and drive significant efficiency for that person or for that individual. That's the approach that we are taking. So in a way, it becomes a glue that connects, brings in AI, but connects all of the backend systems to go and drive efficiency. Just to give you an example, so if I'm into marketing, if I'm a marketer and I'm creating a media plan, then majority of my work, I'll spend probably 60-70% of my time creating a media plan, but I'm also spending a lot of other time looking at various other things. I'd be researching the brand, I would be researching the past performance, I would be communicating with people, I would be updating my systems. So the approach we are taking is to bring in an augmented assistant, which is a group of agents or a stream of agents that will go and power everything that this persona is doing or that this particular role is doing. And in some cases, we'll use it, and in some cases, it'll be autonomous. In some cases, it'll be 50-60% there. But the overall approach would be to use it first with human in the loop in order to go and drive the outcome. So that's the approach that we are taking. In this way, you're connecting with the systems, you're taking away all of the inefficiencies, and you're bringing a bit of thinking into the process by using AI. So that's how we look at it.
Okay. You also spoken about agentic AI not fully replacing legacy platforms like Salesforce, but instead enabling work as a service. So can you share a concrete example of how humans and AI agents as such systems in practical, in the real world, basically?
So I'll give you an example and then I'll talk to you about what we are seeing and how we are manifesting itself. But if you look at a publisher, if I'm a publisher, and if I'm driving advertising for my brands, then I'll be using a number of technologies. I'll be using a technology for managing opportunities with brands. Brands are coming in and saying, I'm going to spend money on your platform. Could you help me with a media plan? So that's one technology that is used in order to create that. It could be Salesforce or it could be any other platform. There is another platform that is used, which is taking the order and activating the order for advertising. And then there's another platform that's used for ad serving, which integrates with the digital platforms to serve the ad. Now, all of these are different technologies, but the person who's managing the work and the role is the same. You know, so if I'm a media planner or if I'm someone who's activating a campaign or managing a campaign, I have to work with all of these technologies. So this is where an augmented assistant comes in, where instead of trying to go and make changes to each of the platforms, they use connectors to connect with each of these and bring data out to do the function. So if I'm creating a media plan, I'll get inventory from another platform. I'll get opportunity details from Salesforce. I'll get certain details around the performance from my data platform. But I bring all of these things together using my agentic platform to come up with a media plan that can go and achieve the return on ad spend or the goals that particular customer is working. That's how we look at it. It's a way in which we can bring in innovation without having to go and try to disrupt different types of technologies which are sitting inside the organization, which may have their own legacy and their own debt, how people talk about it in terms of what's being done for it.
Okay. Can you mention any other company who use or enable work as a service apart from yourself?
What I believe is that as the adoption of AI increases within the enterprise, companies or customers will start to look for organizations that can come in and do work instead of giving piece parts. And we've seen this in different industries. When you look at payroll processing as an example, a lot of companies that they use, I'm just giving an example of ADP. ADP will provide the end service instead of coming and saying, here's my platform and here are the different piece parts. So I think as AI matures, customers will come in and ask for work. They will come in and say, instead of coming and say, give me a platform. And I think we're seeing that happen across the board. And any company, whether you're an advisory firm or you're a technology company or you're an operations company like us, you have to transform to providing work as a service versus trying to give the piece parts. To answer your question around another industry, just a few weeks ago, I live in San Francisco, we had Dreamforce out here, and you look at what Salesforce was talking about, they have signaled to the world that they are not a SaaS company anymore. They are a company that's using Agentforce, and they're focusing on delivering the work instead of coming and giving you a platform in order to do. So I'm seeing that shift. I'm seeing every company, irrespective of where you are, if you're playing in the field of providing service, then historically, instead of being an advisory or a technology company or an operations company, you have to evolve to becoming a service as a software company, where you're enabling the work and you're bringing agentic platform, you're bringing humans in order to do, but at the same time, you're taking accountability for the outcome and achieving that for customers. So that's how I see it, and I'm seeing the world move.
Okay. So do you think that is the end of SaaS era? And what is the next?
Yeah, I think it is not the end, it's the evolution, the way I see it. Because as companies are moving towards, each one will come from the different dimension. But I think the using innovation to do work will continue. That is given in terms of whether we use a technology, whether you're using here or otherwise. But the way it is done will evolve. If you look at the past many years, before the internet, you had a different way of doing work. Once we had the internet come in and proliferate, it was different. Once you had mobile come in, it was very different. Now we've got agentic coming in. Each of these bring in their own strengths, which will evolve and define how the work is being done, you know, in that matter, in a manner. So I don't think SaaS per se is dead, but I think that it will evolve with regards to how each of these innovations could be used in order to do work in an effective manner.
Okay. Do you have any leader, builder, or company that you admire that help you to keep pushing in this kind of challenging competition in AI, because every company now is competing what in being the best in the AI and in the AI.
If I think of this question in a few ways, one is, which is a company that I learned from and I looked up to as an example. So I spent quite a bit of time working with Google during my earlier days. Right? So I was collaborating with Google and I was absolutely blown away by their approach for taking accountability for what was being done, irrespective of which stakeholder was responsible for it. For example, so when Google launched search, this is an example, and if the search was being done in a manner where a lot of consumers may not know how to prompt search, they came up with actually LLMs and generative approach to start with to solve that problem. They came up with Google Translation to solve that problem. But the whole premise was, if there is a particular outcome that needs to be achieved, irrespective of whether it's a company or whether it's the user, it was the problem of the company or the accountability of the company to go and solve the problem. And I think a lot of innovation happened because of that. So I believe in that approach where if you're bringing in innovation, you're bringing in technology, the role of the individual does not stop. A role of the organization does not stop by just doing the work that they've been assigned. You have to look at it from a business outcome perspective and say, is that outcome being achieved? Because if that's not being achieved, it's not sustainable. So that's something that defined me. If I think of different types of experiences, that was an important experience that defined how I look at a problem and what we want to do, which is what we're doing out here in MediaMint, where we are coming in as a company that's working side by side with our customers on running operations, but we want to take end accountability to make them successful. We don't want our work to stop with what scope has been given to us. We want to actually come in and help them improve their revenue, improve their productivity, and make sure that company can move forward in that way.
Okay, makes sense. So talking a little bit in between the balance, but everybody's like, how do you balance AI autonomy and the human oversight? So my question here is, in your view, how much autonomy should AI agents have in customer-facing environments?
Yeah, my belief is that the accountability is always with the humans. So as an example, when we talk about marketing, if we make media buying completely autonomous, and if there is for some reason, there's a major error that takes place in buying media, who's accountable for that? If you're spending millions of dollars buying media that were not supposed to be bought. So I think the accountability for an outcome will always remain with the humans. And the amount of autonomy that will be done is based on the complexity and the risk of what's being done. But I do believe that the whole agentic AI is about amplifying humans versus trying to either replace them or trying to move them into a different space. I do see this as a star network where humans are sitting in the middle with agents and assistants on the ends, trying to do the work and bringing in efficiency into the process.
Okay. So, Ranjib, as a chairman and CEO, how do you foster a culture at MediaMint that keeps humans, not just AI, at the center?
Yeah. I think from our perspective, we started as a services company. And as a services company, our whole IP is people and humans. So that's what we are, and that's how we differentiate. So we have invested significant amount of effort around, we made investments in making sure that the entire organization understands AI in terms of what's being done. And we've declared for ourselves that for every work that we are doing, we will adopt AI into the company and make sure that everyone is empowered in order to do. So for us, we continue to do that. Even though the agentic systems might come in, for us, humans and our employees are the ones who will actually make a difference with regards to being accountable and achieving those outcomes.
Okay. And how, because you say that you work with a lot of tech people, right? Obviously. So how did your team embrace AI? Like, it was very difficult for them to embrace it, because AI is now a hype and it haven't been here like for many years. So yeah, I would like to understand a bit more of that part.
Yeah. The way I see this is, if I just look at an organization and if I oversimplify the organization into three layers. So you've got the C-suite, that's one layer. You've got the middle management and you've got the people who do the work. Now, each of these are at a different level of understanding and maturity in terms of what does it need for AI. So if you look at the C-suite, not just in our company, in any company, they've drank the Kool-Aid. Right? From their perspective, I think agentic and AI is here that needs to be adopted inside the organization. Then you look at the folks who are doing the work. If they are not, they are heads down on a day-to-day basis trying to do the work. So if they're not enabled with AI and they're not made aware and they're not trained around it, then you start to see the disconnect, right? And then you have the middle management in a way that get frozen if it's not done, because they have to listen to the leadership, but at the same time, they have to do the work. So from our perspective, we understand the complexity. And for us, we are making sure that we are making the right investments at every part of the organization, and also declaring as a company that we will be an AI-first company. And it's being done where every piece of work that we will do over time, whether something might be easier, those will be knocked down first, the difficult ones will come in later. But we made a declaration that we will come in and use AI across our organization, and we will make sure that every individual is trained in order to be able to do
that. Okay, makes sense then, actually. So, Ranjib, looking ahead, what's one scenario where you hope humans remain involved in all this world of the future automation? Because I like to ask this question because sometimes some founders or CEOs, they believe that they're living already in the future. Right? So they say, no, I already live in the future, right? So we are already automating everything. But there's something that you will hope that humans, we still have, we are in charge.
I think for one, we are in charge of innovation, right? So that's very clear. Setting the agenda and making sure where the direction is going is something that is something that humans will take accountability for. That's number one. I think where the world will go 6 months, a year, 2 years, is a generation apart today. As we know, the amount of innovation that is taking place, it is very hard for any one of us. We'll all be guessing to come in and say where the puck is going to be 2 years from now. But I do believe that from a human perspective, we will make the calls and we will define for us and for our organizations how this innovation is being done and how it's being adopted inside the organization.
Okay, thank you. So, well, I appreciate a lot your time, and thanks again for joining the Humans and AI podcast, Ranjib.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Humans and AI podcast. We are here to spotlight the people making AI more human, one story at a time. See you in the next episode.